You are now listening to Mix Mag on rotation, the world's dance music destination.
Harrison,
what up?
Harrison.
It's good to talk to you again this week, Val. I'm excited for this week.
You like the jingle?
I do.
Like the name jingle?
I think you should make a jingle for every portion of the podcast.
No, I have a jingle ready at any time, but I also have questions at the ready.
Yes.
I have so many questions to ask you. And this week, I want to know if you've been looking at MixMag.net or have gotten the latest copy of MixMag, the print magazine, you know that we're exploring Acid House this month, which is very important for electronic music history. And 100%. I wanted to get your take on everything about Acid House.
Let's start with, did you remember that article I wrote about why when I'm on acid, the last thing I want to listen to is Acid House?
I do. That was funny.
It was such a joke. It's not actually how I feel, but it was a very fun thing to write. Actually, I love
satire.
Acid House. Yeah. I don't know if anybody really got that, but I just love the history of Acid House. You know, I mean, because we know like DJ Pierre made that seminal Acid House tracks and gave it to Ron Hardy at the club, and Ron Hardy played it for the first time and it cleared the dance floor. And then he played it six times after that, and it got the better reaction as it went on. I don't know. That was in Bill Brewster's book, Last Night a DJ Saved My Life, which I love. But this month, we have some really awesome content on MixMag. We published one this week chronicling the history of Acid House, which I love that.
Yeah, we have some, like you said, we have some really, really awesome spotlights. And I think the MixMag print team and also the digital team, they just dove really deep into the history about it. You know, you might know something here and there, like Harrison, you mentioned some bits in like the electronic history books. But there's some really interesting stuff that I'd never heard of that's on MixMag.net right now. So if you're interested, go check out some of the Acid House spotlights. There's some decent reading out there for sure.
Let us mention though also that this is actually not celebrating Acid House in general, but it's celebrating the 30th anniversary of the second Summer of Love. Right.
Yeah.
That happened in the UK, which people don't realize is like, okay, it's the second Summer of Love. The first Summer of Love was like, what was it, the 60s and 70s or something with like hippie culture and stuff. But this is a different Summer of Love. And
this is a rave Summer of Love.
Yes.
Welcome back to Mix Mag's On Rotation podcast, presented in partnership with Serato, the power of music, our friends over there. And we have a really fun episode ahead today. I know that one, our special guest, I'm very excited to hear from. It is Dirty Bird's head honcho, Claude Von Stroke.
The B side is what the artist really wanted to do. And the A side is like what they think they're supposed to do.
He's got Barclay Crenshaw Project along with Claude Von Stroke, his dual personalities. And I know some upcoming shows. You guys talked about Detroit, so that's all coming up. So be sure to stay tuned. But of course, news. What's going on?
Oh, Harrison? Man, some really exciting stuff. Instagram is getting into this music discovery sphere, which I think is really, really interesting. Took them a while, right? I mean,
took them a while.
But better late than ever. And also just some unfortunate news out in LA with FYF Fest being canceled, which is brutal because that lineup was so cool. That lineup was like really awesome.
Sad.
We have MixMag and Smirnoff launching our global dance floor documentary series, which we...
so good.
Yeah, it's amazing. We explored different dance cultures around the world, so we'll talk a little bit more about that as well.
Indeed, and then of course we'll listen to some Premalema Ding Dongs, which is what we like to call premieres. Some good stuff from Moomin, Loco Dice. We've got a Yeji feature on a Feta LNG. How do you say that? Feta Ling?
Feta Lang, I think it's
Feta Lang.
Yeah,
Feta Lang.
Federico.
Track. There we go. Federico. And then a Vision, so stay tuned. You'll hear some of those awesome tunes. And then it's the Weekend Report. The Weekend Report.
I don't think that jingle ever gets old. I really don't. Might it be nominated for an award one day? The Podcast Jingle Awards. It's got to be out there. We know you've tuned into On Rotation because you live and breathe music, right? Well, so does Serato. They've been showing us the power of music for over a decade and make the most widely used DJ software in the world. On top of that, they've developed some pretty slick music production software too. Go check them out at www.serato.com.
You are now locked in with MixMag's own Valerie and Harrison.
Back to business. Now we're at the
news
section
business,
where Instagram is doing some really exciting things with music stickers and song auto detection for stories, which I think is really pushing the technology forward. I love it.
Yeah, it's like usually tech news is pretty dry,
right?
But I think this one is really interesting. One, because everyone uses Instagram. I kind of think more people like Instagram than Twitter.
Yeah.
So for a while, people have been kind of wondering what Facebook and Instagram's play would be to kind of get into the music world. People kind of thought they might be launching their own streaming platform or something like that. But apparently someone has found within the code of Instagram's Android app. So this actually isn't even released yet. Somebody just, a nerd out there found out.
I cannot believe people do that.
Of course they do. In the way that we are always looking for IDs, there are tech nerds out there searching within code to find out what the next big news is.
That's so fucking crazy.
Yeah. So apparently Instagram as a platform is going to be introducing these quote unquote music stickers for its very popular stories function, which kind of like took over what Snapchat was doing. So it'll allow users to search and add songs to story posts thanks to licensing deals that were acquired somewhat recently through Facebook. And also Instagram is also testing auto detection. So if you're, for example, playing music on your phone and you're, I don't know, making a clip on your story, Instagram will have an option to kind of auto detect what song you're playing and maybe even put it on your story. So you can show all your followers, hey, I'm listening to this awesome, I don't know, Gorgon City track or something like that.
Right. And it's something that's already been done in a different way, right? You're able to post a screenshot of Spotify or of Apple Music and it'll show you the song you're listening to. But now it's going to have a special type of sticker, which I think people are already using it. And so now it's going to be a lot easier for them to really share the music. It's all about music discovery, which I think is really interesting. Somebody actually commented on Facebook, was like, well, are they going to now mute the songs that are not on Warner, Sony, or Universal because there's have these licensing deals, which I think is an interesting thing to think about. I'm sure that's
Think obviously this will continue to develop as it comes out, but it just matches kind of the steps that Instagram has been taking recently. Like you mentioned before, people have always kind of done that thing where they screenshot a good song that they're listening to and post it on their story. So Instagram noticed that, and they actually recently launched the ability to use, like, you can share posts directly from third-party apps like Spotify and SoundCloud. Mm-hmm. So it's not even just a screenshot anymore. Like, you have the ability to go directly from Spotify and be like, share this on my Instagram story. And so people watching your Instagram story can click on the track and listen to it on their Spotify.
I've never done that because I don't listen to music on my phone anymore. You know what I listen to? Podcasts. Boom.
Indeed. Maybe they'll do it one day with podcasts as well. But it'll be interesting to see how this kind of unfolds and Instagram's taking their step into becoming a new music discovery platform. Because people talk about that all the time. They miss kind of discovering music on SoundCloud and stuff. So maybe this is the new way to do it.
Leading on to our next news story, which is your neck of the woods, LA.
My hood.
And FYFS, which is FYFS. For years and years and years, I'd always looked at this lineup and always looked at it out there as like the one of the really cool underground festivals in LA. You know, it's put on by Golden Voice, same people as Coachella, and now over here, Panorama, which is the Coachella East or whatever. It's been going since 2004, and this year they announced that it won't be happening, which is wild because they'd already announced the lineup.
So there's been a lot of speculation after the news came out that it was canceled. People were saying that it's likely because of low ticket sales, which is too bad because, you know, you look at the lineup, maybe some of the headliners aren't necessarily to like young people's taste. Like, I know Janet Jackson was on the lineup, and even though she's great, young people aren't really as like drawn to buy tickets for her.
Right.
I don't know. But there was also like Florence and the Machine, Future, and the XX, which are all people that are pretty like big headliners that are still very current. And then of course on the dance music side, Nina Kravitz, Bicep, Yeji, Skepta, Moody Man, all these people were playing. So like you said, it is really too bad that FYF is canceled this year because people in LA really looked forward to it as kind of it was like a mix of like a little bit hipster, but not and like you could still find new talents there. Like they always try and put people on that I've never even heard of, you know, like on the lower tiers of the lineup. So it's sad.
Interesting because I'm over here and we have Panorama, which I love. I'm definitely going to be going to Panorama here in New York. That lineup is awesome. It's got Janet Jackson as well. But the FYF Festival one was so much cooler in terms of like the Bicep and the Nina Kravitz era and that type of stuff. And over here, it doesn't really have that as much. It's more mainstream. So they did announce that they're going to be doing some local shows with artists on the lineup. So like those artists will still be booked over there, which I think is really sick as well. But
I mean, FYF, I think will come back because I think it was just a bad combination of things that happened this year. At the end of 2017, the former owner of FYF, his name was Sean Carlson. He came under fire for multiple counts of really detailed sexual assault cases. And Golden Voice pretty much immediately separated from him and bought his portion of the company out. So he wasn't involved this year, but obviously that's pretty terrible PR for the festival in general. And then, I don't know, I think it was also a combination of a lot of these artists had played in LA kind of recently, like Nina Kravitz, Bicep, and Yeji. Yeah, I can think of all like kind of recent shows in LA. So we'll see. Fingers crossed. Hopefully FYF will come back elsewhere in the world.
Elsewhere in the world. The world of Mixmag. Which is
in the world of Mixmag and in the wider world of Asia, Africa, and across Europe and some other countries, we have teamed up with Smirnoff for a really exciting new documentary series. Not to toot our own horn, but I think it's actually really cool. And it's called Global Dance Floor.
Yeah.
It's kind of a, you know, mini documentary series. We went to a couple of the most exciting and sort of undiscovered in their own way, like dance music cultures. And we ended up with 9 episodes that feature a different country and a group of artists within each country. And I think it's really, really awesome.
I mean, this is the first big documentary, I feel like, that we've put out. It's one of the biggest projects we've put out. And just to see it from discovering all these artists, writing the stories, sending people to go and find the stories and make it happen, and then putting it into video form, and now it's coming out. We have South Africa, which Afro House, which is like huge, that we got Black Coffee involved, and he talks about how Afro House really is the whole style of music that is running South Africa right now, and now he's one of the biggest artists in the world. And we also went to Angola for Kuduro, and how that is also like the root of the culture there. Kenya, hip-hop in Kenya, with this one of the biggest hip-hop artists in Kenya, we got to be in part of this documentary. So each week we're unrolling a new episode, which is about 3 minutes. They happen every Tuesday, so you got to keep an eye out for that.
If you subscribe to Mixmag TV on YouTube, you'll be able to get notified when they come out, or we'll post them on Facebook as well on Mixmag's Facebook page. But I think it's going to be really awesome for people to watch these because, one, they're like short and digestible, like Harrison said, they're 3 minutes long. But I think you'll meet a lot of new faces. Obviously, these are a lot of artists besides, you know, Black Coffees and those kind of already well-known names. Most of the artists involved in the Global Dance Floor series are people that the international world doesn't really know about yet, but they should know about them because they're obviously working really hard in their local scenes to cultivate dance music culture, and every culture has something different to offer. So I think it's really awesome and very inspiring to see.
I think it's a great point. That's one of the most amazing things about it is 9 episodes, each is so different, and you get to see what's really happening around the world that you might not really know what's going on, but we're actually going to take you there. So keep an eye out for that. But for now, we got the one and only Claude Von Stroke, Dirty Bird Boss, who is having a little bit of identity crisis, and he'll admit that.
We all know the feeling you get when you discover a new artist you've never heard of before. Wave is a new app that'll make it easier than ever. It's a music and content platform dedicated to artist discovery in electronic music and hip-hop. Search WAV and download it from the App Store now.
You are now listening to Mixmag on Rotation. Hot takes on the latest dance music news, tunes, parties, and more.
We are here with Claude Von Stroke, a.k.a. Barclay Crenshaw. Or is Barclay Crenshaw, a.k.a. Claude Von Stroke these days?
However you want to roll with it. It doesn't matter.
I don't know, man. It seems to be funny, though, because, you know, on socials and stuff, it's like you're having this split personality, you know what I mean?
I kind of do have it.
You do. You really do, which is like really funny. Are you having like a identity crisis or what's going on?
I just really wanted to split up the two styles because even though everybody says that everybody's cool with people doing like two totally different kinds of music, they're not actually.
Right.
I don't think they are, at least. Not in these little micro niches that I'm in.
Yeah, I know. It's like you couldn't like make this style of music and put it out as Claude Von Stroke.
I mean, I could, but I just feel like it would fuck it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also, like, it seems like maybe you're going back to your roots in a little bit of a way, like with not what many people really know.
Yeah. I mean, I only listened to hip hop from like when I was 12 to like 26 or something like that.
Right. So, I heard you were a rapper. Was that?
Yeah.
Was that
in high school, I made a rap album.
Yeah. Where is that? We got to dig it up, dude.
There's no way you're getting that. It wasn't as bad as you would think, though. No, but I mean, I would think, in my mind, I'd be like, oh, man, you made a rap album. It has to be terrible. Yeah. I don't know.
You have a new EP coming out, Wale.
Wale.
Wale. All right. Tell me about that.
I just come up with lyrics in my studio that make no sense half the time, and that's just one of those records. But that's kind of like what I always do with Claude Von Stroke. I have the A side is like the fun party record, and the B side is always like the moody B side. And we have a joke like the A side always pops off, and then the B side ends up being goes forever.
Yeah.
That's what always happens on my records.
I feel like I've been a B-side guy all the time. I'm like,
yeah.
I premiere a lot of music, and every time I'm like, I go for the B, you know?
Because the B-side is what the artist really wanted to do.
Really?
And the A-side is like what they think they're supposed to do.
Yeah.
That's what I, like, secretly, I feel like that's what happens.
That's so interesting.
Because they're like, oh, I'll put this on the B, but that's what I really like.
Yeah. Are you rapping on the Wale
record? No. But I did, there are vocals on both of these records, which is unusual for me.
Oh, yeah. Who's doing the vocals?
Me.
You are, okay. What is it, just spoken word?
No, one of them's like singing, but it sounds like if Nine Inch Nails was like,
oh, cool,
pitched down or something. It's really weird.
Cool,
record.
Cool.
Yeah, it's called Raw Nerve.
Where did the inspiration for the vocals come about? Like, what made you want to put the vocals on?
I was just thinking, like, I had this really somber, moody beat, and it just made me think of, like, what I was just saying, like an old Nine Inch Nails, like really like a Marilyn Manson, almost like a kind of a dark,
yeah,
like I might off myself track.
Oh God, scary.
So I just started singing on it, and then I figured out this way, like I did it like three times, and I did them in all different pitches, and then I like mangled it, and so it sounds like a, I don't know how.
It sounds kind of psychedelic, man.
It is, and then it goes, and then it drops. At 4 minutes, you don't hear any like hard part. And then at 4 minutes, it just like, it's almost like the track explodes. And then it goes almost into like jungle drum and bass sonics, but on a house beat, like really hard. It's cool. It's a cool record.
So what made you like feel like you could explore this side to your musical persona now?
That is more about like me being free in the studio. If you listen to my catalog, I was never really that concerned with what people thought. Like, yeah, I just make a bunch of weird stuff. But now I'm like more, don't just put out the records that are on trend. Just put out the records that are totally different than the trend. So I make like a record every morning. Like I make a beat every morning. So I'm like, just of all these beats, which is the one that you like the most? It's just not really sounding like anything else.
Something's going to stand out.
Yeah, it's just totally different.
That's interesting, you know? A lot of people just like following trends and stuff.
I don't think that's really a way to get popular. Mm-hmm. It's a way to get popular for like a year.
Right. That's like how the Dirty Birds really progressed in an interesting way, you know? There's been a consistency, but there's also been a really interesting evolution.
I think if you look at the hits on Dirty Bird, they're all really consistent. But if you actually look at the catalog, there's really crazy records on there that you would never believe were on our label.
And the label obviously was Mixmag's label of the decade.
Yeah, you thank you. That?
How do you feel
that
about
that?
That
was awesome. That was some crazy
award. We called it, man.
I can't believe that we got that, actually. That was really wild. That was cool.
Fan voted. I mean, like, it was
great.
You know.
It was great for us. Like, everybody was super proud of that in the office. It was awesome. Yeah. And since we were like completely independent the whole time, we ran out of our house. That's really the best part of the label, because we don't have any pressure to do anything.
Right.
So if I want to release the weirdest Kill Frenzy record ever made, and I know that it's not like going to number one on Beatport, then we're fucking doing it.
Yeah.
Because it's a cool record.
Right.
So that's why I think it works, because we don't have any pressure.
When you look at Dirty Bird, it's just always been kind of so much more than a label. Number one, it's been a family of artists, obviously, but also now it's got, you're taking this barbecue. Can you imagine what it would have been like back then in San Francisco, just doing it out there, and now see it's like in all these other cities?
It's pretty wild. So the barbecue is like at 15 or 16 years, and the label's only at like 12 or 13. So the barbecue is actually older than the label.
The roots of it. The roots is of the Dirty Bird is just a fucking party, isn't it?
Right. Yeah.
And also now the camp out.
Yeah, the camp out's going great.
I mean, that's
buzzing. It's so fun. I can't even explain. If you haven't been to it, you got to go, because you can't explain it.
Yeah.
It's just like adult summer camp. People are on teams. They're like bonding with each other over their team color. And like, you could basically go to it alone and leave with like a whole shitload of friends. It's so fun.
I was just reading an interview with Dr. Rubenstein, and she was like, I still like to be out in the crowd, you know, and like Eats Everything is like that too.
Yeah.
But so many others aren't like that. They distance themselves from it. Do you feel like you get any type of inspiration from being out in the crowd?
If I'm going to a party, like standing behind the booth with bad sound, you're not getting the experience. You're not really seeing the act. You're like looking in the back of their head. It's bad house sound behind the stage. I would rather just listen to it in the front, like the way that it's supposed to be delivered.
Yeah, I totally
get
that.
Yeah, I love going out in the crowd.
So what you did with the camp out, you're just like, I had this idea, let's...
Yeah, camp out, the first camp out was not that popular of an idea.
Really?
In our office.
No way.
Well, I mean, it was a daunting task,
wasn't it?
Let's just put it this way. I just dropped the flyer without consulting with everyone.
Really?
And I was like, we're doing it. And I keep doing that.
Slam it down. This is happening.
Everybody gets on board eventually, and it's all good. But sometimes my wife pushes me, and sometimes I push her. Like, we're a good team.
Yeah.
She's very driven and excellent at everything. So, big props.
Teamwork makes the dream work. She actually
pretty much, like, doubled the whole entity in, like, 2 years. She didn't always work there. Only, like, the last 2 or 3 years.
Really?
Yeah.
She hasn't been involved.
No, I mean, we talk about it every day,
right?
But she didn't actually work there.
Yeah, yeah.
Now
yeah.
She's working. She was a huge like marketing executive at other companies.
All right.
And then she's like, I can't stand listening to you bitch about this another day. I'm taking over.
Let me be involved so we can bitch about it together.
Right, exactly. That's what we do. We just we sit around complain about everything.
But now also closing out movement, that's like a
oh yeah. That's like a real dream for me because in the first few years of movement, I couldn't even get booked on it.
Really?
And I was like, how can I be from Detroit and not be getting booked on this festival? This is criminal.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so eventually I did, and then I think they were like, oh wow, that he got a really good response. And I'm like, yeah, man. Like, we should have been doing this already.
I feel like people don't realize you're from Detroit.
Yeah, no, but we just had this conversation last night with Eddie Folks.
And
he came to the show. We did a Barclay Crenshaw in Detroit last night.
Oh,
and he's like, wait, I don't understand. I didn't hear any house music. And I'm like, no, you went to the wrong show. He's like, I thought I was meeting Claude Van Stroop. No, I explained the whole thing to him. He's awesome. We talked to him for like 3 hours. So I played movement like a bunch, but then they were doing like, they're like, you can only play 1 year and not the other year kind of thing.
What is that?
Even for Richie Hawtin, you have to play Richie Hawtin, then you have to play Plastic Man.
Like, oh.
They don't book the same person.
Okay.
So that's how I started working it now. Play Barclay Crenshaw and Claude Van Stroop. 1 year on,
work the system. Work the system.
No, but Detroit's a great city. I really like it. It's changing so dramatically. It's like absolutely incredible. Every 6 months, because my parents are still living there, so I'm there twice or three times a year. But the downtown is radical change. Like I can't even believe the amount of stuff that's down there now. And there's people walking around in the daytime.
Yeah.
Almost like it's like a real city.
Almost.
No. Like there's people going to get lunch from their jobs and stuff, like walking on the streets. That was never the case
for the whole time I lived there. Detroit is on the up, up right now.
For a while, it was like desolate, like ghost town vibes.
You were just there and now you're going back to the movement. I mean,
that's going to be awesome. We're going to record it and then we're going to license the tracks and like try to release it.
666.
Shh, I just blew that premiere.
Hey, I am not saying, you know, I'm not pushing Barclay, okay? Everybody out there, I'm not pushing him to say anything. He's just spit it out.
If that doesn't happen, don't be mad. But I think it's happening.
Let's keep it rolling, man. You're also got a Las Vegas residency.
Yeah.
I'm excited about that.
That's a Dre's. Yeah, I did a couple Dre shows last year. They're cool.
Yeah.
And I think I'm doing 4 dates, but 2 of them are doubles. So, like, I do the day and then the late night also.
All right.
Because they have 2
the
clubs.
Beach club and then
They have the outside club, which is a day party, and then the after hours.
This is your first Vegas residency?
I kind of did light last year, but I don't know if you... I mean, I did 3 or 4 dates. I don't know if it was a residency. I guess it was a residency. I don't know.
I've never been to one of those things in Vegas, but it just always looks like a crazy party.
It's cool. It still has a little ways to go on like getting familiar with stuff that isn't in the top 40.
Yeah.
But
it's leaning,
it's
going
definitely
that way.
Getting there. Yeah. Like, it's way better than like 4 years ago. I don't even think I could have DJed there.
No way. What do you think it is? Do you think it's like the audience?
I think it's
more
a really international clientele and people coming from all around America. And basically, dance music is just getting more accepted in America every year. So the people going to Vegas don't necessarily only want to hear Rihanna and Drake.
Right.
They might want to also hear something else. And so since the competition is so insane on that top 40 tip, I think some of the clubs are like, well, wait a minute. What if we just do this other sound and we can still get 5,000 people in the club and sell all our bottles and whatever we have to do? It just makes sense for everything's business.
business. When you were first starting out DJing, you went and you interviewed DJs?
Oh, yeah. So I was already making music, right? Yeah. And getting absolutely nowhere, like most everyone. I just made tons of music and I didn't know what to do with it. I didn't know how to get it into the right people. I had no idea what I was doing. So I was like, okay, I work at this edit post-production house in San Francisco when this is going on. I got all this equipment sitting around. I can edit for free. I can borrow their camera. So anytime a big DJ comes out to town, I'll figure out a way to interview them. And so I interviewed like 50 DJs. I also went back to Detroit because I had some connects to get all the old original guys, like Juan Atkins and all that stuff. And that's how I got everyone on it. It was kind of like high school. Like once I got Juan Atkins and Derek May, everyone was like, oh, I have to be on it.
You said it was like for some documentary?
Yeah, so it was
DVD. There was no documentary.
No, I was making it.
You were actually making this documentary?
Yeah, I made a documentary.
Where is this documentary? Is this is
you
that?
You can't get it anymore.
Come on. This is just like your rap album. You got this rap album.
Got
you got a DJ documentary.
If you didn't get it when it came out, then you missed it.
Oh, shit.
So I interviewed 50 DJs. I edited their footage for like 2 days a piece, made these 5-minute vignettes of all the DJs explaining how they became famous, their technical trade, and like, all the stuff I actually wanted to know, like not like what color do they wear Gucci, all the technical stuff and how they started their record label and all the facts.
Oh, wow.
So I skipped all this stuff that everyone can never figure out. So by the end of the movie, I released it on a DVD and I ran out of money. So I had to make tracks that sounded like the people that I interviewed made them so I didn't have to license their tracks. So then I was able to make House by the end of the movie really well because I made like a Juan Atkins track, Steve Lawler track, Timo Moss track. Like,
wow.
And then I was like, oh, now I can make a House record. And that was right when I was getting in with Justin Martin and all these guys that were like really in, and we were doing the barbecues. And so I'm like, man, Justin just learned how to use Reason like 6 months ago. He already signed a track. I was like, I already know how to make house music. So I'm just going to make a track. And that was it.
Sick. You ever think about doing more stuff with film?
Yeah, but it's so hard.
You're so busy these days anyway.
I think about it all the time. And then I actually start writing stuff down. And then I look at it and I go, when are you going to do that, fool? Never.
But I mean,
that's why we got Mike here. He's making movies.
He made a movie
for me yesterday. It was amazing. Yeah.
I don't know if you ever really thought you would dive into this kind of hip-hop bass music realm again. You know what I mean?
Like, I didn't think I was going to either. And I kind of was like, okay, I'm over it. But then I just kept seeing the reason I did it is also a function of festivals. I started being like, yeah, you can play house at a festival for a bunch of thousands of people, but really like the impact music that like hits harder, it does better.
Right.
In that kind of setting, like the mass, like endless totem for 10,000 mile crowd.
Whereas the Claude stuff is
they
like
need
clubby.
Like a 1 hour throwdown.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate to say that because when I started, I believed that, but now I'm playing Club on Stroke these same crowds and it's working. So it's not really a good argument, but I was thinking like, I was just noticing it.
Like that was that festival sound.
It's not even like I even play a festival sound, so I don't even know what I'm talking about. play all this moody, weird shit.
And you're playing as Barclay in a club tonight here in Brooklyn.
Yeah, know? Basically, I'm telling you that I started to play this festival trappy sound that I don't even play.
You don't
play.
Even play it. But it's interesting. You like mixing some like old school, maybe 90s hip hop stuff with some other type of like psychedelic bass music type stuff.
That's what I do. That's
cool,
it.
Man.
It's like I've mixed 80s and 90s hip hop vibes into futuristic like EEPROM beats.
Yeah. Oh, that collab with EEPROM.
Right.
Which was cool.
Thank you. That was great. Yeah. I love him. He's a genius.
Tell me what else is going on this year. What else is coming up? What are you excited about?
We got
about?
This record coming out April 27th.
Wale.
And then I got a Book of Shade remix.
Oh, sick.
That's kind of like off of my style.
Really? What?
It's like electro trance inspired. It's weird.
That's cool, man.
Yeah, I think it's a cool record. It sounds different than what you would expect from me. It's interesting.
Yeah, it's not that drop the bass type.
Yeah, like, not really. It sounds like a Stranger Things like movie soundtrack track.
Kind of like grand soundscape type.
Yeah, I like arpeggiators and bass, and it's interesting. Then I got I'm doing this remix for Mo.
M-O.
The M-O with the O.
Yeah, the
like
O.
Like the Danish O.
The O that's like, yeah.
And then I'm doing some more Barclay Crenshaw that I haven't started, but I have all the files. Like,
what, is another album?
Maybe. I can't say that. I don't know.
But you've said everything else.
I know. I have like 18 tracks.
Oh, sick.
So I recorded all the live musicians in New York.
Oh, cool.
So on the first album, I recorded like 7 days of live musicians in LA. And that is where I started. So I kind of create my own sample bank.
I love that.
That's not samples. Like the people come in and play piano and trombone and everything. Yeah. And I just have all the ideas ready to go and like the keys and the tempos. And we just make files kind of. It's a really crazy way to do it, but it's
I love that.
And so I did that for this one, but I did it in New York.
The next one's gonna be in New York.
So all the files are from New York guys.
Does it have a little bit different type of flavor?
And all the ones from the last one are from LA guys. Yeah, it kind of is more, I don't know. It is different.
It's got to be different, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you.
Barclay or Claude. I hope your split personality.
I don't think anybody's even, if you never heard of me before, can we explain the difference? We never even did that.
Explain the difference between.
Claude Von Stroke makes like house music and Barclay Crenshaw makes like weird hip hop. Like if you never heard of me, at least I explained it in the last
this
minute.
Is it. If you made it this far, you had no idea what this guy was talking about the whole time.
Who the fuck is this guy talking about split personalities? He's got serious problems.
It's been a pleasure, brother, and we'll see you out there.
Thank you.
Take it easy.
This is Mix Mag on rotation, direct to your eardrums.
We have arrived at the section that is usually known as the premieres, but this week it's the Premalama Ding Dong section because why not? No, but if you love any of the tracks we're about to hear and you want to find them in full, go check them out on Mixmag SoundCloud or on our Spotify channel. And also send us a tweet. Let us know which one's your favorite this week because we love hearing from you. Desolate Bossman Loco Dice makes his first appearance on the Martinez Brothers imprint Cuttin' Heads with a banging house cut aptly titled Slammer. And that's Slammer with a dollar sign. With a heavy touring schedule and the Ibiza season on the horizon, expect to hear this one aplenty in the coming months. Slammer, which comes complete with a remix by DJT, is out now.
Berlin's own Moomin lands on the Veteran House imprint Wolf Music with his third album titled Yesterday's Tomorrows. Consisting of 8 tracks, the collection delivers a wide range of styles from deep house to 90s hip-hop and liquid drum and bass. Here, Mixmag locks in the exclusive premiere of Days Days, which sees Moomin dive deep into his distinct house style. His Yesterday's Tomorrows album is set for release May 18th.
NYC-based talent of Vision lands on Victor Calderon's Matter Plus imprint with his Free Your Mind EP, consisting of a cohesive stack of techno rollers, including this deep and intoxicating title track. As somewhat of a prodigy early on in his career, Avision has been a fixture behind the decks at legendary venues around the world, and the Free Your Mind EP is out now.
Artist Fedi Lang takes his own Axe on Wax imprint to deliver the second release on its Axe on Wax White sublabel, which comes complete with a deep and acidic and bumping dancefloor weapon featuring Geiji titled Looking From Above. Fedi Lang is quickly becoming a fixture in the global underground scene, and his latest collaboration with the exciting talent Geiji further showcases why he's one to keep an eye on moving forward. Look for this release to be out soon.
Listening to Mix Mag on rotation.
All right, before we tell you where to party this weekend, I want to say a big up to Serato for helping us make this podcast possible. Serato is a really interesting company known for their industry-leading DJ software while also delivering innovative tools for music production. Check them out at www.serato.com to find out more. Val, Weekend
Hello.
Report. Give me that jingle.
It's me.
Boom. One,
it's
two, three, hit.
Weekend Report. The Weekend Report.
Yeah.
The Weekend Report. The Weekend Report. Oh, wow. Right? Oh, that was nice.
Add a beat to it.
That was
and then
cool.
It's like actually becomes wow. a thing. And then, you know, we that can like, shop it out to the major labels and get it on Instagram and for all that stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. That was like the Weekend Report remix. I'm into
wicka
it.
Wicka remix.
Okay. But let's talk about LA. I'm going to start first with our lab of the week. Of course, Wave helps us put on those labs in LA and New York. They're awesome. That's also where you can go watch them too if you want to. Wave is an app spelled W-A-V. But this Thursday, we have Monolink, who is super awesome. He's going to play a little live set on Thursday. So if you're in town, come join us. If you're not, watch it online because it's awesome.
He plays a bunch of instruments too, right? He's going to be on guitar and all that shit, yeah?
Yeah, he does. I was actually learning a little bit about him. He like comes from like the roots of like guitar and nice. He's really inspired by blues and folk music. So he's got this like really interesting take on electronic music.
That should be special.
It'll be cool.
That should be special.
Yeah, it'll be very interesting. So that's on Thursday. But to keep the party going on Friday, there's a lot happening in LA this weekend, which is awesome. AMF presents Maya Jane Coles. And if you're not familiar with AMF, that's Gary Richards' new project, I guess, that he's working on post-Hard Presents Life. So now he's working on AMF and they're bringing a couple really awesome shows into town. So Maya Jane Coles, that's going to be awesome at Union. You can get tickets for those online. If you are not into Maya Jane Coles, you can also go check out the Lights Down Low Party, who is bringing Heidi. They haven't announced where that is. Of course, it's mysterious.
Ooh, mysterious.
And then over at Exchange in downtown, we have Will Clark, who's playing along with Santi and Weiss. So Will Clark is a
friend of the
OG
podcast.
Friend of the podcast. Yeah. And then also the final thing on Friday is at the Standard Rooftop. The Tendencies Party is bringing DJ Minx all the way from Detroit, playing
the
alongside
D.
Kim. The D. Playing alongside Kim On and Bathhouse. That's, again, at the Standard Rooftop. So Friday night, plenty of options. And then on to Saturday. The big party is kind of like the day party. Flying Circus is in town. Manfly, which is, of course, Mandy and Audiofly's combined project. They're making their LA debut this Saturday. So that'll be really awesome. And the other talent on the lineup is Who Made Who, also a cool live act. And then Monolink, after he plays the lab, will play at Flying Circus. So that's going down at Civic Center Studios. Tickets are available for that. On Saturday night, you can go check out Pan Pot with Julia Gavor at Exchange LA. Julia is the best and Pan Pot are great too. So that's
friends of the podcast
awesome show. Indeed, indeed. And then Into the Woods presents Lobster Theremin's 5-year anniversary party, nice. Also on Saturday night. So obviously Harrison's a big fan of Lobster Theremin.
Oh yeah.
In case you didn't know. But that party is unannounced location.
Ooh, mysterious.
Mysterious. So go buy those tickets and figure it out. Yay.
Wow.
LA.
All right, New York. What's going on in New York? We have Bedouin in
the
lab.
Back it up. Yeah.
For Wave, right? Yeah, I gotta shout out Wave. They're doing this whole road to Asaga Ibiza because they have the Asaga Ibiza party that is really, really amazing. Goes down at Heart every week over there. So Bedouin is in the lab on Wednesday. So if you're listening to this now, you're gonna go check that out on Wave. And then on Friday, we have Joski, which is gonna be really cool, doing all vinyl set. So two labs this week is really stacked and we're really stoked for that. Go check it out on Wave. Wave is the app, W-A-V. We got a lot of cool, awesome content coming out on there, artist interviews and all that type of stuff. Now, on to Clubland. What's going down? Thursday, Todd Terry is in town to play at Good Room with Risa Garcia. It's the Dancing Room Only New York 2-year anniversary. Definitely going to want to check that out. Legend, absolute legend. I'll be playing in the Bad Room. Another shameless self-promotion. I've been doing it every week, so get used to it.
Not the Good Room, but the Bad Room.
The Bad Room. Good Room, Bad Room. They're all good. It's all good. On Friday, it's Roy Ayers is doing a live set, his whole band, which is just an absolute legend. If you haven't gotten a chance to see him, you got to go check this out. It's at Output on the Roof.
It's roof season in New York.
It is roof season. It's still, I'm wearing a jacket. It ain't like hot out. You know what I mean? Like, it's like not but warm, but it's
hot kind of, enough.
It's hot enough to have a roof session with Roy Ayers. That is going to be absolutely amazing. That's during the afternoon. And then later on at night, it's Dub Tribe, Miguel Miggs, Tony Humphries, Joski, Love and Logic at the Paper Box, which is going to be really amazing as well. Then on Saturday, a couple of little things, which is going to be very intimate and fun. DJ Python, local, live and DJ set. So he's going to do a live set and his DJ set, which is going to be really interesting, along with Beta Libre and Sold at Nowadays, a Mr. Saturday Night spot. Then Touch of Class is having Life on Planets do a live set with Ray Zuniga and
Nikita, and that's at Rose Gold Underground Spot in Bushwick. Then on Sunday, it's roof season, so Resolute is taking their party to the roof with Move D, Sit, and Lauren Ritter. That's at the roof at Output. Definitely going to be absolutely amazing. Nice way to cap off the weekend. Or if you want to go venture out into Queens, Mr. Sunday opening day at Nowadays, which is going to be absolutely massive. It's going to be packed.
Yay.
But it's going to be beautiful. It's Eamon Harkin, Justin Carter, the label owners and the club owners and the party owners and the absolute legends. So you can't really go wrong anyway.
Now over to the home of Mixmag.
London. London.
Oh, God.
Please don't troll me.
I don't want people to get mad
at you. I'm sorry. Yeah, don't get mad.
For Harrison's bad accent.
I work with all the British people, so I like kind of think like in British. You know what I mean?
I apologize for his accent.
Damn it.
No, but in London, as always, there's plenty going on. On Thursday, John Hopkins is getting the weekend started at Village Underground. So that's going to be obviously a solid show to get going. On Friday, the Kabuki Party is presenting Ben Sims back-to-back with Randomer at 5 Miles. That sounds pretty legit. And then if you're not down for that, or if you can't get tickets, you can go catch Marshall Jefferson's extended set at Number 90. So two solid options for you on
Legends
Friday.
Legends all around.
Legends. Yeah. And then on Saturday, the Church and Quartet series is going down at Mix Garage with Seb Wildblood, Knotbreaker, and Lawrence Guy, Debonair. Solid stuff. But if you're not into that party for Saturday, you can also check out Soul City, which presents Moomin and Harrison BDP. Not this Harrison.
I'm Harrison.
Harrison. That Harrison. And that's going down at the Jazz Cafe. So Saturday options are there for you. And then finally, Sunday, catch the Soul in Motion Summer Series party and things out with Groove Rider Martin at the 93 Feet East venue. So solid.
Off to our rotating city of San Francisco, where the party is getting started on Thursday with Panpot, friend of the podcast. If you haven't listened to that podcast, go check it out because that interview is absolutely insane. But Panpot is playing at Halcyon, which is the really cool club out there. And that's on Thursday. Then on Friday, it's On and On with Monolink. Another Monolink party. He's everywhere this weekend.
Yeah, he's making the rounds.
That's awesome.
That's what happens. One of the European guys, they come over, they got to play everywhere.
That's amazing. Yeah. But this lineup is awesome because Monolink and Unadol are playing at the Great Northern. Definitely going to want to check that out. Or if you want something a little harder, it's all about Roger Sanchez, legend at Halcyon. So if that's not your thing, you can find Object, Dra, and Outpost at 1192 Folsom. There's a lot going down on Friday. I'd probably do the Object party just because Object is amazing. Then on Saturday, it's all about Dorley of Dirty Bird. He's playing at a private warehouse somewhere in SF. Ooh, that's even more mysterious when it says private party warehouse.
I know,
somewhere
specifically private warehouse.
Private, somewhere. Or if you can't get into that warehouse party, which is very mysterious, you can find Weiss at Audio SF. Stacked weekend all around the world. Where are you going to be, Val? Where are you going to party this weekend?
You know, I'll be around in LA. I'll be bopping around.
I hope so. I see you hanging by pools and shit. They don't even have pools in
it's
Brooklyn.
It's hot here.
Do they even have pools in Brooklyn? Anybody listen out there, is there a pool in Brooklyn? I want to go to a pool.
Or if you're listening out there, let us know on Twitter at Mixmag where you want us to talk about on the Weekend Report. We always have one city, the rotating city. We want to know what parties you want to hear about. Or if you have an awesome party, tell us about it.
Yeah.
Be sure to join us again next week. We will be here again with another awesome episode. And I'm Valerie over here in LA.
And I'm Harrison here in Brooklyn.
And together we are Hallery.
Apparently.
Just kidding. We're just thinking of funny duo names because why not? But no.
Hallery's a good one. That's a good DJ duo name. Hallery. We can
Hallery.
Do that. We can take that on the road. Take it to the festivals.
I'm into it. So keep an eye out for Hallery. But until then, join us again next week.
Peace.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Mixmag on Rotation. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. We'll be back soon with more buzz from the world of dance music. Stay locked. This podcast was produced by Full English Post.
Commence the podcast. Commence.